Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
Awake in the morning, feel like a slave. Go down in a coal mine, a man-made cave. Well, earn my living.
Spring of 1976, one of the worst mine disasters in U.S. history unfolded here in Letcher County, Kentucky, in the Scotia Mine, just over Pine Mountain in Eola. On March 9th, an underground locomotive used for transporting coal ignited methane gas that had accumulated due to poor ventilation, causing an explosion that took the lives of 15 miners. 2 days later, on March 11th, a second explosion killed 10 more miners and 3 federal inspectors who had entered the mine in a rescue attempt. On March 9th, 2010, 34 years later, the community came together to remember the Scotia mine disaster and to dedicate a historical marker for the tragic event. These are the voices of the family members and fellow miners who came to the memorial to honor and remember the people they loved who lost their lives in the explosions. Kenneth Doyle Turner and Willie D. Turner were two of the miners who died in the first explosion, and many of their relatives came to pay their respects.
I'm glad they had it. My name's Gladys Keith. My son-in-law, Kenneth Turner, was in the first explosion.
I'm Lori Brown. I'm Kenneth Turner's daughter. I'm from Kingsport.
So you were just a little girl?
16 months old when my dad died.
So you've been waiting for this memorial for
34 years. So I'm glad it's up, and I'm glad that their names are on it, because I was telling her once we are dead and gone, then nobody would remember their name, and this way they will.
My name's Rose Kelly, and I'm Kenneth Turner's sister. I think it's a long time coming, and I'm really glad that they did put the names on the markers for everybody in history to know. That my brother did give his life for it. So just, I think it's a great tribute to him. Really great. It feels good to be here and that they've really done something. But it also brings back the pain of the day. Yeah, so, and I came in from Cincinnati.
So have people been hoping that a memorial would go up for a long time? Has this, what sort of finally brought this about?
I always hoped that there would be something to mark that tragedy so that everybody would know, but I had never known that they had even thought of a historical marker, so which I think is really, really awesome. It's awesome. So, but they all still live in our hearts. Well, someday we'll all be past. His daughter will be gone. His granddaughter will be gone, and this is for history to come. It'll stand when we're not here. It'll stand to tell the story.
Dennis Bud Boggs was a miner who also died in the first explosion on March 9th when he was just 26 years old. Dennis's sisters, Kay Cantrell and Iva Stedham, shared memories of their brother.
My name is Kay Cantrell. My brother Bud was killed in the explosion. It brings the memories back. I was in my 20s. I was at school at Eastern Kentucky University, so no, I was in my 20s when he got killed. So he was 2 years older than me. So yeah. So, but yeah, it's a very sad day. It's a good day, but it's a sad day. So, and I have a nephew who was 22 months old when he died, and so this makes it more real for him.
My brother was killed in the first explosion, March the 9th. It just more or less brings it all back. But I mean, you know, it's good. It's a good thing, but that day I came with my brother's wife, and we came down, and when we heard about it, and we We waited about 3 hours before we found out for sure that he was in there, because someone had told us that it wasn't his section, that it wasn't where he would be working. But then they released a list and had it, some of the men out at the gate had it, and we found out he was. And then most of our family that lived in the area came down, and we were all waited there in the bathhouse. And then what time was it about?
5:30.
We were told that they had all died.
They brought them out and they said.
Yeah. I think they told everybody to leave, didn't they?
Go ahead and leave. They'd bring them out. They wouldn't bring them out. Everybody left.
And I remember that day we came down here and there were news crews from all the major networks. I don't think that CNN probably wasn't in existence then. I don't know. But CBS, NBC, all of them had news crews down there at the gates. And it was really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. He had gone to Vietnam and was on the front lines the whole time when they went into Cambodia and everything, and then come back and get killed in the mines. I mean, the Vietnam experience was terrible for him. You know how some of it was at that time, and it was awful. And then he comes back and gets killed in the coal mines.
He was
26 when he was killed. But he made a living for his family. You know?
Yeah.
And that's all there was here. He worked for a while for a tire store in town, but then he went to work in the mines because he didn't make any money.
What was your name?
Dennis Boggs.
And what brought you here today, Dennis?
My father got killed, Bud Boggs. But kind of learned a little bit more about it. I really never did know a lot about it till today, and learned a lot more about today.
What do you think about the idea of having the marker here?
I like it. I think it's overdue.
Dennis Boggs' widow, Jennifer Boggs, and his brother, Everett Boggs, were very active in the hearings following the explosions, and their efforts were crucial in the passage of the Federal Mine Safety and Health Act of 1977.
I guess I was one of the troublemakers. We did what we had to do. It wasn't about the money. You know, what they did wasn't right.
The hearings started in Pottsburg in April, didn't they? Probably less than a month after the explosion.
I don't remember the exact date, but
They had the hearings over there, and then we went, Abby and one of his friends went to D.C. in June for Senate hearings.
Do you feel like anything positive came out of the state or the Senate?
Them auction bottles, that's come out of what me and Lynn went. The fullest step, D.C., that's what we told them, that you needed something other. At that time, they just had a little respirator that you put in your mouth and it would fuse in smoke with oxygen. It would separate the smoke and oxygen, but it wouldn't generate oxygen. After that, we went up there, they made them for you to generate the oxygen. So that's one good thing come out of us going to D.C. I guess that was one of them.
Joe Shelton was working in the Scotia mine on the day of the explosion. Shelton was also a part of the recovery team that worked through the summer and into the fall of 1976 to bring every last body out of the mine to be finally laid to rest.
I was in the first explosion and in the recovery operation of the second explosion. We felt the impact of the explosion. We was on a parallel section to it, coal mining. We was mining coal one place and they was mining in another place. And we felt the impact of it. The dust stirred up all around us. It really hit us hard, too. But everybody with us was okay. The ventilation stopped in the area where we were at, and a lot of dust. And from the outside, the mine office, they told everybody to start walking to get out. But I spent with the rescue teams, the actual recovery after the mines was sealed. We broke the first seals down on July the 14th. The bodies had been sealed up to that point. And then it took the method that we used to get back to them. It was a method of block ventilation. We'd explore out 1,000 feet, secure that area. So we was from July the 14th to about a week before Thanksgiving before we ever surrounded where the miners were at, you know.
Only two of the miners at the site of the second explosion were able to reach safety.
They never really got to those men, most of the men, that night until, 10 or 11 o'clock? Because you remember, they backed Still starting at the mouth of 2 South, they backed up clear to the end of Northeast Maine and started from there.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have done any good because, you know, Tommy and Earl and all of them had tried to seal themselves in the barricade. They had, I guess the boys was almost dead when they tried it.
Yeah.
You know, the impact I was telling her that hit us, I could imagine what to have been, using the term from the towers, ground zero on them boys. Because I'd say their hearing was probably destroyed and everything, you know. And, you know, Willie Dean Turner, he almost crawled to fresh air, though. When we got to in the recovery, you know, we was recovering to get back to the second victims. When we explored out, we'd passed 2 South. Now, not 2 South, but South Main, or 2 East. You know about where I'm talking about underground, about 2 miles back. We finally found their footprints, Ernie's and that other guy that made it out.
Yeah.
And their feet print, I'm telling you the truth, they was that far apart. They was really moving, you know. That's where Richard Combs got and picked them up, about right in there. That's when we started finding their prints. There was.
The public memorial for the Scotia Mine disaster is next to the old Scotia Mine site off of Highway 119 at Oven Fork in Eola, Kentucky, here in Letcher County. This is Sylvia Ryerson reporting for WMMT's Community Correspondence Corps.
Well, I was just happy this finally happened because I wondered for years and years why there had never been no moratorium, you know, memorial set to these guys. Because, I mean, in 2 days, or 2.5, almost 3 days, we lost 26 people here. And, you see, I have my own opinions. I know pretty well every detail underground, which I wouldn't bring out, as to what caused a lot of it. We wouldn't do any good now. They had their hearings and stuff, you know, back in 76 after it's over with.
Many souls there will surely fail at that Scotia Coal Company. Put some flowers on our grave. Put some flowers on our graves.
Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.